Now we welcome you to this workshop on conventional cottons. We're calling this Conventional Cottons Back to Future Part 2. If you were in New Orleans last year, we did a conventional cotton workshop, and it was really more focused on the Mid-South renewed interest in conventional cottons. Here we're going to do Part 2. This has a more of a Texas flavor to it. Our speakers are primarily from Texas, and we'll be giving that kind of slant. For me, with the gray hair, it's a real interest to, that we're talking about conventional cottons. We don't think we're going to put the transgenics out of business, but there is it does provide us an option, and there are certain instances, and I think our speakers will relate to that today of how it may fit in. In terms of percent transgenic cottons over the last few years, the green line, the middle line, shows U.S. acreage, and you can see it has increased exponentially since 1995. We went from 0% transgenics until about the mid-2000s, near 90%, and now we're close to 100% transgenic cottons. I've got the red line is Arkansas, and I did that because I'm from Arkansas, but also I already had that data, and I didn't have to, but it's very representative of the Southeast U.S., and you can see that it has accepted transgenics at a faster rate than at the U.S. average. What is interesting here is that this past year, Arkansas dropped down about 2% into conventional. The varieties they list there, I really kind of question these data, and I think that these data are pretty accurate until you get down to the 1 or 2%, and then they're a little fuzzy. The blue line at the bottom shows the Texas, and Texas is either lagged behind or been ahead, whichever perspective you want to take in terms of transgenics. And has had a larger acreage, but what is kind of interesting to me is that this past year, it really made a jump. And I don't. From people I've talked to in Texas, I'm not sure that's truly accurate. And you see the line right below that is Arkansas taking a drop from 100 to 97. So in those two to a couple of percents, I don't know how accurate these data are. But I think the bottom line for the U.S. 98% transgenic in 2011, 99 is probably a pretty accurate picture. Now, the driving forces for these transgenics has been, from insect standpoint, for bollworm, budworm control, then the first was the BT gene, then the BT2, and now the wide strike. We have a situation now that our speaker will mention is some new insecticides that has a different situation than when BT first came about. In terms of weed control, the first transgenics was BXN, as followed by the straight Roundup Ready gene, the Flex, Liberty Link, and now we have the stacked glyphosate Liberty Link. Present situation is glyphosate resistance, and certainly in the Mid-South has been a real driving force, and as we learned this morning in the production conference, it's now starting to see in some places in Texas, so we'll see that. The final driving force for transgenics has been stated from almost the very first, has been that they would have value-added traits. Up to this point, we have not seen those. They may be coming, but at least right now there's none available. The negative driving force on transgenics is primarily the technology fee, and particularly in different areas, they'll range from about $58 to $72 an acre. Whoop. So for conventional varieties, there is in some local areas there's been a demand has increased due to these technology fees. Due to the glyphosate-resistant pigweeds, kind of, I've heard some producers says if I'm gonna have to go with more of a conventional weed control, why am I paying the extra for Roundup Ready genes? And then the new budworm insecticides, particularly Coragen and Belt. Conventional varieties may have a niche in areas where the glyphosate-resistant weeds exist and where there's low worm pressure. Right now we have a few more conventional varieties are becoming available. A couple of years ago they just hardly were there. And the future of the conventional varieties really depends upon the demand, and that's kind of a question mark. So with that introduction, I'd like to get into our talks. The first one, if I get on the right page, somebody turned the page in my book. I am sorry. What page am I on? Page 11. Thank you. Everybody turn to page 11. We'll start singing. No, okay. Here we go. First speaker is Dan Fromby, a good friend of mine, by the way. And he's from Texas, and he'll be talking about producing conventional cottons again, an agronomist perspective. Dan.
And a fellow Aggie, right?
Sort of, yeah, I'm kind of an Aggie these days.